Educational Ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Welcome back, spring semester. Welcome, transfer students. We recognized you Tuesday, but we want you to know how grateful we are that the Lord's brought you here. Raise your hand if you struggle with pride. Now, I don't think it's a woo, but all right, raise your hand if you were too prideful to raise your hand. It's amazing, isn't it? This morning's passage brings us to the topic of pride. But before we jump into the passage, let's review where we've been going this year in our chapels together. In 2 Chronicles 15 and 16, we looked at Asa. We said we must have the right devotion. We must seek God because God is not a cheap God. Then we looked at Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 17 through 20. We said we must have the right focus. We must trust God. Like Asa, we seek God. From Jehoshaphat, we find we must trust God. Yes, we do have to wage war, spiritual battles, on our feet, but we win them on our faces. Then from King Joash, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, we said we must seek the right counsel. We must listen to godly people. And then we ended fall semester, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, with Amaziah. And we said we must have the right vigilance. We must be careful and watch out for ungodly influences in our lives. Well, that brings us this morning to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. So you can be turning there. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We are looking this morning at King Uzziah. Now, King Uzziah, he's the 10th king of Judah. And we're doing, for those that are new this semester, we're doing the study on the 8 good kings of Judah, the southern kingdom. There were 20 kings. 8 were identified in Scripture with this phrase: they did right in the sight of the Lord. Now, I didn't realize this when I was preparing back in the summer, but over the holidays when I was preparing for this morning's chapel, I saw very clearly King Uzziah epitomizes the 4 lessons that we've learned to date from the first 4 good kings. He was the 10th king of Judah, the 5th good king. Like Asa, we're going to find when we get to verse 5 that he sought the Lord. But he only sought the Lord in the days of a prophet named Zechariah. He trusted the Lord. I love verse 15. We're going to find he was marvelously helped. And then we say, by whom? We go to verse 7. It says he was helped by the Lord. So he was marvelously helped until. And we're going to find what that until is. But he trusted the Lord for a while and he won these battles. And he came to a point where he stopped trusting the Lord. Verses 17 and 18, we're going to find he doesn't listen to godly counsel. Azariah, the high priest, the chief priest, he's going to confront him, but he doesn't listen to him. And then we're going to find verse 16, that he didn't watch out for ungodly influences in his life. And that influence was pride. Raise your hand now if you raised your hand on either of those first 2 questions. You struggle with pride, and keep your hand up, or you were too prideful to raise your hand the first time around. Join us. Look around. Keep up. Look around. Now, I thought this morning I was preaching only to myself. I'm so, so glad. Because, I'll share with you later as it comes up, so we won't get the PowerPoint slides way out of order. All right, well, let's get an overview first of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. In my Bible, I outlined it 3 ways, in 3 different sections. Verses 1 through 5, I put down King Uzziah's description. Now, in verse 4, we saw he does right in the sight of the Lord. And back in the introduction, back last August or September, it was a 2-part introduction, we went through that many things were burned in the library, but we were able to save some things, and there was this archive that had a picture of King Uzziah, and here's his picture. And it was amazing how much he looked like Professor Rogers. Is Professor Rogers in the house? Where is he? Oh, I saw him on the way in. Is he not here? Well, then I can brag on him. Now, because we don't want him to struggle with pride. In December, at graduation right here, I handed him his diploma. He's now not Professor Rogers. He is Dr. Rogers. So let's clap and applaud. And Dr. Rogers, as you listen to the CD of this, since you didn't show up, know that we love you. But you know, verse 1 says he started serving when he was 16 years old, so he didn't always look like Dr. Rogers. So here's a picture of what he used to look like. It's amazing how in his younger years, he looked just like Kyle Simmons. Now, if you weren't here in the fall, you're brand new. Somebody put a ticket on my car for $743 and some odd cents. Well, I paid that ticket to the box number, found out later it was Kyle Simmons. Stand up, Kyle. I paid that check to Kyle, and I still haven't got my money back, so I want my money back. Well, there are two other sections of this chapter. Verses 6 through 21 is Uzziah's disobedience. We're going to come back to that. And then finally in verses 22 and 23 is Uzziah's death. Now, Uzziah's disobedience, those verses right there, we can break those into three sections. 10 verses, verses 6 through 15, cover his conquest. So it starts out and he says, he defeats the Philistines, the Edomites, the Ammonites, the Arabians. There are four different groups of people he defeats. So he has these conquests. But then in verses 16, 17, and 18, it talks about his corruption. And then three more verses, 19 through 21, the consequences of his corruption. So I want us to look and focus in our passage this morning, verses 16 through 21. Because that's the overview of the chapter. Let's look at these particular verses. Because they are what I call Uzziah's defining moment. Now, what are defining moments? Defining moments, when you say somebody's name, like Kyle Simmons, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? He owes me money. Now, I just put some examples up here to give you an idea of what we mean by defining moments. This is a picture, not of Winston Churchill. He's the first one. There is some semblance there, but this is Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A. The picture is right here. It's during December's graduation. CIU gave him an honorary doctorate because of the tremendous Christian testimony he's had in the marketplace. But I put it up there because he gave me a plaque, and it's in my office, and it says, "Never, never, never give up." Now, when you think of the name Winston Churchill, that phrase comes to mind. Why? Because in England's darkest hour, he rallied the country together and he said, never, no, never, never, never give up. And so decades later, when anyone thinks of Winston Churchill, that's the defining moment. Here's another example. Picture of Dr. McQuilkin and his first wife. I showed you this back last semester. When people say the name Robertson McQuilkin, they don't think of his presidency here as the third president of CIU. They don't think of all the wonderful books he's written, the fabulous teaching that he does. They think of his decision to resign from CIU at the height of his ministry here, when everything's going so wonderful, so well, he resigns in order to take care of his wife, who was struggling with Alzheimer's. It was a defining moment in his life. Here's another example. Sam Avery. Now, up until December the 10th, 2011, when I heard the name Sam Avery, this is what I thought of. Me hugging him. Now, what happened was, we were behind. The soccer team, CIU soccer team, was behind. And I yelled out across the field, "Sam, we need a goal." 30 seconds later, we had our goal. He's so excited, he runs and he jumps, and I catch him in midair. I'm letting him down here, and notice my left hand. I'm pulling it away from him as fast as possible. Because notice his jersey. He was one big sweat ball. I smelled like Sam for 3 days. Now, I said, this was the defining moment up until December the 10th, 2011. Why? Because he and Seth and Kyle and some others invited me to spend the night on Memorial 2 with them. Here's the picture of spending the night with them. Now, you notice Sam and I are right there together. Well, that night was fun. We went and watched the movie Home Alone because it was right there at Christmas time. And then we went and bought pizza. I paid for it. We ate tons of pizza and thousands of hot wings. And Debbie and I had been to a seminary professor's party, Christmas party, and I said, oh, ladies, there's some starving young people in Memorial 2. And I took all these desserts, filled the entire back of my van or the SUV. I opened it up, and they looked in like, oh, we've struck gold. And it was like vacuum cleaners. I was one of the guys had this entire bowl of banana pudding, and he was going, well, about 1:15, they said, oh, we have to go to church in the morning. We better go to bed. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, 1:15, this is great. I thought it'd be much later. The last thing I remembered was 3:15. We had the mattresses all in the hallway, and we're supposed to be sleeping. Sam Avery has this whistle and a flashlight, and he's running up and down the hall, and he'd blow the whistle and shine the light in somebody's eyes. He says, I'm the police. At 3:15, it's not funny. That's now the new defining moment. And it's very interesting. You look real close, you'll find King Uzziah in this picture. So, but what's Uzziah's, King Uzziah's defining moment? Look at verses 16 and 17. Let's ask five questions about the life of King Uzziah. What did he do? What's the defining moment? What is he known for? Is he known for being king of Judah? Yeah. Is he known for being one of the good kings? Yes. But what's the main thing that comes to people's minds? Verse 16 and 17, he acted corruptly, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Apparently, this was not a very good idea because in verse 17, Azariah, the head priest, and 80 other valiant priests go in there to stop him. Well, why? What's the big deal about King Uzziah burning incense in the temple? Verse 18 says, Azariah, the priest, the head priest says, it's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priest. Now, if we went to Exodus chapter 30, which is talking about the different furniture that's going to be in the temple, in the tabernacle as they're about to build it. It says, verse 8, chapter 30, verse 8, Exodus, it says, at the altar of incense, every morning and every evening, incense is to be burned. It's to be a perpetual, a never-ending offering to the Lord. So, I mean, in Uzziah's defense, he reads Exodus chapter 30, and he goes, we're supposed to be offering incense. So, he takes his censer and he goes in and he's offering the incense to the Lord. So why would Azariah and 80 valiant priests come in and say, stop? It's because he didn't know all of Scripture. Numbers chapter 3, especially verse 10, the first few verses. It says, if someone besides the priest does these duties, he's to die. So apparently, it's a pretty big deal. It's not like they're trying to say, hey, you're doing our job. You're saying, oh, king, this is not good. This is only for the priest. Now, one of just a little side lesson here is this. You've come here because you want CIU to educate you from a biblical worldview so you can go out and impact the nations with the message of Christ. We want you to know the Scripture backwards and forwards. So whether you're in the marketplace, the mission field, or local church ministry, your life is lived in accordance with this book. But you can't just know the Exodus chapter 30 verses. You have to also know their Numbers chapter 3 verses. You know it all, beginning to end, and you see how it fits together. Well, third question. So how does he respond? You would think he'd go, "Oh, I did not know that verse. Thank you very much. I don't want to die." Let's see what he says, verse 19. He says, "But Uzziah, with the censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged." It's not an attitude of gratefulness. It's this indignant, "What are you doing there? I beat the Philistines. I beat the Ammonites. I'm the man. Step back. I can't believe you dared try to stop me." He's not grateful. He doesn't go, "Whew, thanks." But he becomes enraged. So what are the consequences? Verses 19, 20, and 21 says there, leprosy breaks out on his forehead, and he's cut off from the house of the Lord. Now, I put this picture up here because we always think about leprosy. You know, it's leprosy, big deal, because we never see lepers. This is what they look like. It was a big deal to God. He disobeyed God. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequence. In his grace, God didn't strike him dead. He just struck him with leprosy. And at this point, he's in the holy place, he's in the temple, and that's where the presence of God was manifested. God says, "This is where I will dwell." And he's as close to God as you can get. But in his disobedience, he cannot any longer enter the temple. As a matter of fact, Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46, it says, "Someone with leprosy must live outside the camp in a separate house." So you find there in Scripture that he's living cut off from the house of the Lord. All because of his choices. Well, fifth question, most important question. And we're going to look at a sequence of events, verses 15 through 19. Just go back through them and watch. Here's the question. How did Uzziah get to this place? Because at the very beginning of the chapter, verse 4, he does right in the sight of the Lord. He's seeking God. He's being marvelously helped by the Lord. He's got it going. 5 stages. Number 1, verse 15. It says, he was marvelously helped until he was strong. First step was this. He experienced success. So then what happens? Do you remember the lesson back in the fall we learned from just in the introduction? We must have the right attitude, an attitude of humility. Why? Because hammers don't build houses. Remember that? Here's what Uzziah forgot. It says, he, Uzziah, the hammer, was marvelously helped. Verse 15. Who helped him? Verse 7. The Lord. The hammer doesn't accomplish anything. It's used to accomplish something. The master builder does the accomplishing. He is the one who builds the house, not the tool, the wielder of the tool. So Uzziah, a little hammer, suddenly thinks, look what I've done. But as soon as God lets go, he can't do anything. So there in verse 15, he forgets. He's just a tool that God has graciously chosen to use. So stage 3, verse 16. Look there, it says, but when he became strong, his heart, and I didn't see this next word until earlier this week, and I've been looking at this for weeks, this passage. But his heart, I read it like this in my mind as I was reading. And when he became strong, his heart was proud. And earlier this week, I saw two-letter word, so proud, very proud, extremely proud. His heart became so proud that he acted corruptly, which is the fourth stage. He thinks he's better than everyone else, and he acts corruptly. And then this morning I saw this, and he was unfaithful to the Lord. And I started thinking about that this morning, just trying to meditate over this passage, just to prepare for my time with you. And I thought, unfaithful. You know, if I were to stand up here today in front of you, and I said, you know, I need to confess something. I've been unfaithful to the Lord. And you guys would go, oh, we'll pray for you. But if I were to stand up here and say, guys, I've been unfaithful to CIU. You go, your ears would prick up, eyes would open. You'd be like, what'd you do? How are we affected? But what if I said this? Guys, I'm so embarrassed to say this. I've been unfaithful to Debbie. There'd be shock. How could you? But if I say, I've been unfaithful to the Lord, say, oh, we understand. God's not a cheap God. He's God. He's our God. And he chooses to love us and to use us. And I love the worship songs and to never let go, to always be with us. But yet, the moment we get success, we start forgetting we're just hammers. And we grow prideful, and we act corruptly. And then the fifth stage, and we stop listening to those who care about us and confront us and say, the smell, it's not a fragrance of the Lord. It's the rotting of corruption, of pride. This passage so scared me over the holidays that I wrote a number, and I just put three of the questions up here. It so frightened me as I studied the passage that I thought, if the good kings, I mean, remember 2 Chronicles 25, the previous chapter, Amaziah, he beats the Edomites, and he brings back the idols. He'd been doing right in the sight of the Lord until that happened. And so now we get to King Uzziah, and he beats the Edomites. He beats the Ammonites and the Philistines. And it says his fame spreads abroad. He has so much recognition by the people around him, and he becomes prideful. And he goes and he says, I can do what the priests do because I'm Uzziah. So if Uzziah can do this and Amaziah can do this, I thought, oh my, what's keeping me from doing the same? So I wrote a series of questions, and during my devotional time, I'd ask the Lord, to say, Lord, show me the answer to these questions. Am I growing prideful? Am I taking credit for what you've done? Am I forgetting that I'm just a tool, just a hammer? God, show me. You know, God's been blessing CIU tremendously. Tuesday, the dedication of our library. Now watch this. Did I nail one nail on that library? No. Thank goodness. They call me Lightning because I never strike the same place twice. So, who did the work? Well, the construction folks. Now, who around here did the work? Was Keith Marion, no question. So if I like, I go, library. I didn't do anything. I mean, it's so subtle. Yesterday, I start leading a Bible study, and half the group are seekers. They've not crossed over yet into a right relationship with God. And it was an incredible Bible study. There was such a transparency among the men, first meeting. I came home and told Deb, I said, Deb, normally it takes about 6 months for men to get to that kind of level of transparency and vulnerability. I'm driving back to the campus. I'm going, great Bible study. James 1:17 comes to my mind. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. It's a good thing God's blessed us with. So God, if we take any credit, just a little bit of credit, good Bible study, great library. If we take any credit, from whom are we taking the credit? If we take any glory, from whom are we taking the glory? The Lord. And if we dare take any, our hearts are growing prideful. Oh, there were so many little phrases. I was so disappointed I'd finished my talk. I want to go back and let me just add one here. Verse 15, it says, his fame spread afar. He had honor in the sight of people. But Azariah, the chief priest, Azariah, he says this in verse 18. He says, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord. Who do you want to honor you? People? And your fame spread afar? Or the Lord? So, what about you? You raised your hand with me. I was the first one to raise my hand. I've been preaching to me, this passage has been preaching to me for weeks now. What will be the defining moment in your life? You experienced some success. Are you going to forget that you're just a hammer? Just a tool in God's hands? Will you become prideful? Will you think you're better than everyone else and act corruptly? And then when your friends say something, will you respond in anger and become enraged? What will be the defining moment of your life? And we never know when it will happen. I thought we'd close our chapel like this. Ladies, you're off the hook. But just be quiet just a moment. Men, I don't know how a young lady, could struggle anywhere close with pride the way we as men do. It seems like they're much quicker to go, oh God, I'm so sorry. Here's what Scripture says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. You younger men likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, humble yourself before the Lord. This is not the right way to pray. God, please humble me. And God says, no, I've already told you, humble yourself. So as we begin this new semester, here's my invitation and application of this passage of Scripture. I'm going to pray and dismiss us. And then men, can we come down before the front of the stage here, or up on top of the stage? Get on your knees, get on your faces, and humble yourself. Not before man, but before the Lord. And say, God, any good thing bestowed, any perfect gift, I want to recognize it's from you. And I want to, any success, I don't want to grow prideful. I want to stay humble. I want you to keep all the credit, all the glory. I don't want to act corruptly. I don't want to be unfaithful to you. Let's pray. Father, like Asa, we want to seek you. Jehoshaphat, we want to trust you. Like Joash, or unlike Joash, we want to listen to godly counsel. And unlike Amaziah, Lord, we want to be vigilant, watching for ungodly influences. And Lord, today, from King Uzziah, it seems like the most insidious of these influences is pride. So this morning, we want to begin the semester in a spirit of humility. May we be found faithful always as we seek to please and glorify you. Father God, fill us now with your Spirit. May we walk in his power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.